When police charged a teenager with the shooting death of an innocent passenger on a B-15 bus in Bedford-Stuyvesant last month, it set off alarms across the city about violence among local gangs known as street crews. But for one neighborhood mother with little trust or faith in law enforcement, it also raised new alarms about how to keep her son out of danger. WNYC's Kathleen Horan reports.
Brunilda Rivera often takes the B-15 bus to her job as a cook. But in the week since the shooting, she's walking more often.
I know the streets, so at the end of the day, don't mess with me.
That's the message Rivera is sharing for her own safety, in the perpetual scowl she wears as she travels the blocks near her apartment. She says the police are rarely there when you need them. She has a long, thin scar that runs along her left cheek.
It came later on in life. I can't tell you the whole story.
Otherwise, Rivera's pretty forthcoming. The 48-year-old says she was raised on the Lower East Side, growing up fast. She says she was raped by an acquaintance after running away from home at 13.
It was just so rough growing up, coming from the projects and just moving. And because at that time, I was like, okay, now this dude raped me. What the hell do I do now?
Scared and ashamed, she didn't think she could confide in anyone, especially the police. She has avoided them most of her life. Instead, she spent years struggling with addiction and has served time for theft and other petty crimes. Rivera is proud to say she's been clean for about a decade. Now, her main focus is keeping her 17-year-old son safe. They live in an apartment smack in between the Marcy and Tompkins housing projects, where warring street crews have been engaged in an ongoing battle.
I don't care if he's 17, 18. I want to protect my son.
Rivera won't allow her son to be interviewed out of fear for his safety. He's been assaulted twice in 3 years. Most recently in February, when he and his friend were goofing off in a nearby park.
These kids try to stab my son for no reason, for him just being in a park at 6:20 in the evening. Like, really? What does a parent have to do to protect her cub?
Rivera says she and her son filed a police report. A week after, she followed up at a precinct meeting asking for more patrols.
What can the precinct do to secure our neighborhood?
Deputy Inspector Michael LePetri, the precinct commander, asked her if she reported the attack.
I mean, that's the first thing that, you know, a lot of times I ask that question, and I get no a lot. I mean, that's part of how we police.
She met with a community affairs officer afterwards, and he tried to call her son, but she was disappointed he didn't stop by for a face-to-face visit. The NYPD runs stepped-up patrols around the projects. But that doesn't give Rivera more peace of mind.
We need something deeper. We need to dig into the roots. You know, that's what it is.
She struggles to articulate what the solutions might be. Professor David Kennedy has been developing answers for most of his career.
There are now things that really, really work.
A crime prevention expert at John Jay College, he's examined root causes of violent crime, especially involving gangs and youth, for decades. In neighborhoods like Bedford-Stuyvesant, he says, it's driven by an amazingly small number of offenders.
In the most dangerous neighborhoods, it is about 5% of the young men who are in these groups, and those groups will be associated regularly with 60, 70, 75% of all homicides.
The 56-year-old sports a beard and long straight hair that falls down his back. He comes off serious and intensely focused.
What dominates is respect and disrespect and street honor code stuff.
When gangs have a beef with each other, he says, arresting individual members doesn't lower the body count because the feud between groups continues. To be effective, the dynamic itself must be interrupted. The young men and women at risk are brought into a room and told the violence isn't okay. They're offered resources they might need, like job placement or counseling. But they're also told that if anyone in the group commits a violent act, the whole group will face a smorgasbord of consequences.
We will be looking at everybody for drug sales, drug use, outstanding warrants, probation and parole violations, unregistered cars, pirated power and cable, everything. And if you want that kind of attention, let somebody in your group shoot somebody.
The NYPD is currently in discussions with Kennedy about ways to respond to violence among street crews here. But any solution will have to include the wider community. And that's the NYPD's particular challenge.
New York City became the national emblem of treating everybody in these communities as if they were lawbreakers. And guess what? They don't like it.
The criminologist says that's what discourages people from reporting crimes or snitching. He says it's usually up to the police to not only make the first move, but to be genuinely contrite.
To say, we've been doing this wrong. It has not even worked. It hasn't kept you safe. These are still places with unacceptable levels of violence.
Brunilda Rivera says she hasn't heard that yet, and it doesn't feel like help is on the way. She has a different solution in mind. She desperately hopes her son attends college out of state. For WNYC, I'm Kathleen Horne.